Let's pray, shall we? Father, we ask that your word would be our teacher, your spirit our guide, and your glory our great concern. And we ask this for your name. Amen. Some time ago, I was talking to a friend who's into Buddhism and Eastern spirituality. He's had little to do with church and the Christian faith. And he asked me, what spiritual practices do you do as a Christian? It's a very different approach to finding out about Christianity in contrast to, say, asking questions like, does God exist? Or what about suffering? Well, there's three basic Christian practices or elements to Christian spiritual life. There's prayer, there's going to church, there's reading your Bible. Over the next 7 weeks, we're going to be looking at prayer in what I hope is going to be a really practical way. Prayer is something that we can all do from the very young to the very old, whatever our abilities or circumstances. It's our greatest privilege and the most powerful thing that we can do, because in prayer we come before the throne of the infinitely powerful God who made all things. It's one of the easiest things we can do and also one of the most difficult things to do in life. At our Vision and Planning Day last year, Parish Council decided that this was to be our goal in 2026, to grow in prayer. All our Bible study groups are going to be doing studies on prayer this year, and hopefully there'll be places where we can have a go putting into practice some of the things we're learning together in church. My hope and prayer is that these sermons will not only help us understand more about prayer, they'll also tackle obstacles that keep us from praying, and they will move us to prayer. So we actually grow in prayer. So what is prayer? Oh, that's my sermon list. There you go. So what is prayer? Prayer is a universal human experience. It's a natural human impulse in response to wonder and fear and our desire to reach out for something beyond ourselves. Prayer is found in all cultures and all religions throughout all history. Through this series, we'll see how Christian prayer is a little bit different from other faiths. But for the moment, let me start by saying that prayer is responding to God. God has made us for relationship with himself, and he has created us to know and to love him. And the lifeblood of all relationships is communication. Without communication, relationships grow cold. And so when it comes to a relationship with God, God speaks to us primarily through his word, the Bible, and we respond to God through prayer. If that's all prayer is, why do we find prayer so hard? Why don't we pray? Well, there's all sorts of different reasons for each of us, but I think there's two big ones that can be real roadblocks for us when it comes to praying. Number one is we don't really understand who it is that we're praying to. And number two is we don't think we're worthy to talk to God. So today we're going to try and tackle those two roadblocks. We'll look at who God is and who we are. And we'll do that by meditating on the first line of the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples when they asked him, how should we pray? And you all know this. When Jesus was asked, he said, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. So, who God is, our Father in heaven. There's two main ways in which we don't understand who it is that we're praying to. First is we only have a vague idea of who God is. We might think of him as some sort of cosmic spiritual force or something that unites and pervades all things, maybe an ocean of being. The point is, it's a pretty impersonal picture of God. And second, we might have a picture of God as a person, but he's just a bigger version, an infinitely more powerful version of the bad authority figures that we've experienced in our lives. The language of father itself may be unhelpful because of the failures of our own fathers. This is a picture of God as maybe a cosmic bully or tyrant. He's certainly powerful, but is he good? Well, Jesus says that when we pray, we're to begin with the words, "Our Father in heaven." Jesus tells us we're not praying to an impersonal force, but to a person, our Father in heaven. This is one of the major differences between Christian prayer and forms of prayer in Eastern spiritualities like Hinduism or Buddhism. In those, the goal of prayer is dissolving the boundary between the self and God, because ultimately you are part of God. And prayer is mainly a meditation, an inward turn to find God through emptying the self. Now, meditation is one form of prayer Christians have used through the centuries. And there's certainly space for losing yourself in prayer. But this is always in response to the God who loves us. It is, in the sense of the words of the hymn, "Love Divine," that we are lost in wonder, love, and praise. I'm going to be hearing a bit more about that next week, in next week's sermon. So prayer is our response to the God who's made himself known to us. In John's Gospel we read, "No one has ever seen God, but God, the only begotten, who's at the Father's side, he has made him known." This is why Jesus came, to make the Father known to us. He reveals the Father so that we might know him as our Father. This, in fact, is what Jesus prayed in our gospel reading. "Father, I want those you've given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you've given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made your name known to them and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them." In the Great Commission, Jesus commands his followers to go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Notice Jesus only says "name" once. In the ancient world, a person's name was key to who they were. And so here, Jesus shows us that God in himself is one God in three persons: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So when we pray, all three persons of the Godhead are at work. The New Testament tells us what God's character is like as Father. He loves us. He's sent his Son to die for our sins so that we can be adopted as God's children. It's a task the Son willingly takes on because of his love for his Father and his love for us. And the Apostle John says that when we believe in Christ, we receive the right to become children of God. And the Apostle Paul says the same thing in our reading from Galatians. Did you see it there in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26? "You are all sons of God," or children of God, "through faith in Christ Jesus." And he goes on in chapter 4, verse 6. Where are we? Ooh, get it here. God sent his son, the spirit of his son, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive the full, the adoption to sonship. And because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls Abba, Father. This is the incredible news at the heart of the Christian faith, that not only did Jesus die for our sins, but also that as we trust in him, we are adopted as God's children. Now, some people might object and say, aren't we all God's children? And in a general sense, this is true because God has made us. In Acts 17, Paul quotes the Greek poet Aratus, who says, we are all God's offspring. But becoming God's children by adoption is of an entirely different order. It means we enter into a personal relationship with God. And the key here is that Paul says we are all sons of God through faith in Christ. Now, this is not actually Paul using sexist language of a patriarchal culture. He's making a theological point. It's much more profound. What Paul is saying is that as we trust in Christ, we share in his very relationship with the Father as the divine Son. And so God sends the Spirit of his Son, Christ's very presence, into us so that with Jesus we can cry out, Abba, Father. That Aramaic term of affection by which Jesus himself addresses his Father. My Father, Daddy. Paul here is simply restating what Jesus himself had prayed to the Father. I will continue to make you known to them so that the love that you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Can you imagine that? The infinite love of the eternal Father that he has for his beloved Son from all eternity, Jesus is praying that you know that you share in that love, that you experience that love, that you are caught up in that love. This is what Jesus prays for you. Isn't that beautiful? That's what God wants for you, to know and share in his eternal love for his own Son. That you are children of God, sharing in Christ's relationship with the Father. And do you notice that it's not only through Christ that we come to the Father, it's also in the Holy Spirit. In Romans we read, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Same thing here as in Galatians. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. It's by the power of the Spirit that we experience being a child of God, that we experience God's love. He makes sharing in Jesus' relationship with the Father real in our lives. And so in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul prays for us, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That's what God has for us. That's what the Apostle Paul prays for us. It's what Jesus prays for us. Now, a few years ago, Claire and I really enjoyed watching the Netflix series The Crown, and especially those seasons about the early life of the late Queen Elizabeth II. Some of the most moving scenes were where the princesses Elizabeth and Margaret, as young girls, simply enjoy being with their father, King George VI. And there's a whole lot of protocol and formality and distance that everyone has to go to get an audience with the king. But they can just go straight through all of that and run into his arms because he's their father and they're his children. That's what you get as being a child of the king. Free access to his presence. And that's what we get in prayer. Free access to God's own throne room as his children. That embrace that he has as our father. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians, through Jesus, we have access to the Father by one Spirit. Well, do you remember our second problem I suggested when it comes to prayer? We often think that we cannot come before God because we are not worthy. Our problems aren't big enough for him to be interested in. I mean, goodness me, look at the world. There's some pretty big ones there. And we are much too small and maybe a little bit shabby, a little bit dirty for him to bother listening to us. Well, I don't know, maybe there's some truth in that. We are by nature unworthy to come before God. And yet, do you remember Jesus' parable, the Pharisee and the tax collector? The Pharisee stood confidently before God and paraded about how he was so much better than everyone else. He, just look at my CV, all the things that I've done. The tax collector would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus says, it's the tax collector who goes home in the right before God. And that is because it is only by God's grace, his undeserved, unmerited, unwarranted favor that we stand. Of ourselves, yeah, of course we're not worthy. But by his gracious free gift, we are adopted as his children. And so we can come to him as our father. And what's more, both the Son and the Holy Spirit intercede for us. They speak on our behalf. So we read in Romans 8, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with wordless groans. And he, that is the Spirit, who searches our hearts, that's God, knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with God's will. Isn't that wonderful? The Holy Spirit himself dwelling in our hearts, he knows us. And he speaks to God on our behalf. He prays for us in accordance with God's will. Isn't that great? We might not know what to pray. We might not feel worthy. We might be at our wits' end. But the Holy Spirit prays for us. Later in the chapter, Paul writes that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. So not only the Holy Spirit, but Christ himself. And it's why we pray as Christians in Jesus' name. Jesus actually says this 3 times in John's Gospel. When you speak to the Father, ask in my name. The book of Hebrews is acutely aware of our own sense of unworthiness and failure and how this can mean we run away from God instead of coming to him. And so to encourage us, it draws on the symbolism that we saw last week, actually, of the curtain in the temple being torn in two from top to bottom when Jesus died, and shows that Jesus is both the complete and final sacrifice for sin, and he is also our high priest who speaks to God on our behalf. And so we read in Hebrews chapter 4, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who's ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, and yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Do you see both God's majesty and his mercy here? We approach God's throne. It is Almighty God that we speak to in prayer. He is the one who made us, who sustains all things. He's the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the judge of all people. And yet it is the throne of grace, because of the blood of his Son poured out for us, we are brought into his presence. He knows our weaknesses. He's shared in them. He knows exactly how difficult it is and what it's like to be a human being. And he lives to speak with the Father on our behalf. By the power of the Spirit, his gift to us, we are brought into the Father's presence. And so, as the Son to his Father, we can speak to God as our Father. We can ask. We can simply be in his presence. Now, some may still find the language of Father difficult. This is a real thing. I want to acknowledge it. Your own father may have wronged you. But I want to suggest that this need not be a barrier to prayer, because in Christ, you will receive the love that you need to heal the wounds of your unhappy family past. You know, all our parents fail us, sometimes spectacularly. None of them are what they should be. In Psalm 27, verse 10, we read, "Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will bear me up." The relationship that God offers us in Christ is what all of us need, be our family background good or bad. And because Jesus, our brother, was forsaken for us by his Father, he did that so that we could be accepted by God as children of God and call him our Father. That's the cost. The cost that it cost the only Son that we can pray. And so great is the security of this relationship that Jesus brings, that the Apostle Paul can write, "Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Well, I began by saying that prayer is our response to God. And I want to finish by saying that such is the Father's love and grace toward us that he invites us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to share in the very relationship his Son has enjoyed with him as Father from all eternity. So that we know him as our Father and we experience his love for us as his children. The Son and the Holy Spirit intercede for us with the Father. We don't know what to pray. They're already at work. Our prayers are simply participating in Jesus' own prayers. In prayer, we are stepping into the communion of the Son with the Father by the Spirit, the life of the Holy Trinity. To pray is to breathe the life of God. Is to live by God's love and grace. So why not pray? Why not start today? Dear, why don't make this the center of your life and all that you do? Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we thank you for your immeasurable love shown toward us in your Son, the Lord Jesus. That through him, by your Spirit, we have access to you. That he brings us into your presence before your throne of grace. And so we can call you our Father. Please help us to rest in what Christ has done for us, to trust his finished work on the cross, but also to come as your children, to simply be in your presence, to share our hearts, to ask what's bothering us, to bring our fears and hopes, our dreams, our desires, our worries, to lay it all before you because you love us. Help us just to be with you in prayer. And we ask this for your name's sake.